have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
This is Nikki with The Worthy Project, coming to you on behalf of Domestic
As I look out in the world, troubles are the same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
My Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Him, without a doubt.
Without
the
a
Lord
doubt.
Has set me free.
Gave me
gave
the victory.
Me the victory. The Lord has made a way.
Made a way.
And
made
up my
soul. Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, I made it through the storm.
There was that time when my life was very hard. Found myself locked out in the cold. No peace within, no will to survive. But when Jesus came in my life, His love abided.
My Lord, He wiped it out.
Yes, He
oh,
did.
Yes,
without a doubt.
The Lord set me free.
Gave me
gave
the victory.
Me. The Lord has made a way.
Made a
and
way.
Made up my soul.
Yes, He did.
Oh, yes, I made it through the storm. The Lord, He wiped it out.
Yes, He
oh,
did.
But God told me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now I can rejoice and shout, my God has worked it out.
Worked it out.
Yes, He did.
He worked it out.
He set me
oh,
free. Gave me the victory.
He
healed my body.
He
made me whole.
He
brought me
oh, yes,
out. And He saved my soul.
Worked it out.
I was dead.
Here,
Jesus, just here, right on time.
Worked it out.
Came
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Savannah, Georgia-based singer, songwriter, musician Courtney Malley Music Pollard began recording in the late 2000s. It wasn't until 2014 that he broke through to the mainstream success with the Grammy-nominated Malley Is. Pollard's 2017 follow-up, The Transition of Malley, added a clutch of further hits to his catalog. Following a Grammy win for Moving On, his 2020 duet with Jonathan McReynolds, the two musicians released a 2021 EP together. Malley Music was born on January 12, 1988 in Phoenix, Arizona, a multi-instrumentalist since the age of five. Pollard issued the inspirational Coming, his debut album in 2008. The well-received follow-up, Second Coming, arrived the following year, resulting in a major label deal with RCA, who issued the singles Ready Aim and Beautiful in 2013, in anticipation of his third album, Malley Is, which dropped in 2014. It proved to be a breakout release for Pollard, reaching number 16 on the Billboard Top 200 and earning a Grammy Award nomination for Best Urban Contemporary Album. Although his next album, 2017's The Transition of Malley, didn't fare quite as well, it still enjoyed success on multiple charts and yielded some of the most popular tracks, including the track Contradiction and Loved by You. After switching from RCA to Provident, Malley Music released his fifth album, The Book of Malley, in August of 2020. One of the leading figures in gospel hip-hop is Lecrae. He delivers his Christ-centered rhymes with secular flair, employing contemporary production that attracts fans from both ends of the spiritual spectrum. Born on the south side of Houston, Lecrae Devon Moore grew up in Denver, Colorado and San Diego. It was at the age of 19 that he decided to give his life to Christ and became president of Reach Life Ministries, conducting Bible studies and many other projects. Influenced by Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, Lecrae made his debut in 2004 with the album Real Talk, which he issued on his own label. He topped the Christian charts with 2008's Rebel and took home the Grammy for Best Gospel Album with 2012's Gravity. His journey to bring his message to the mainstream peaked in 2014 with Anomaly. It topped the Billboard Top 200 and continued into 2016. In addition to collaborations with such artists as E-40, Ty Dolla, and Tori Kelly, Lecrae teamed up with producer Beethoven in 2018 for the joint effort, the Christian chart topper, Let the Trap Say Amen. The female Christian hip-hop artist who won the ITM Female Hip Hop Artist of the Year Award in 2008, 2009, and 2011 for her contributions to Christian hip hop, I Got It, Do Something, and All God, Brea Miles. She was born into a military family, attended Grand Canyon University, and awarded her bachelor's in 2017. She's deeply spiritual and has ministered to military audiences at Fort Lee, Fort Monroe, and Fort Eustis. She performed on the Bobby Jones Gospel Show in 2011. She's also worked with such artists as Derek Minor and MC Jin. Christian hip-hop artist Brea Miles. Here's this week's top 5 Christian hip-hop songs. Number 5 comes from Lecrae, All I Need Is You. Number 4, Andy Mineo featuring Lecrae with Coming In Hot. Lecrae with Blessings featuring Ty Dolla, I'll Find You. Lecrae featuring Tori Kelly. And Andy Mineo has the number 1 Christian hip-hop song this week with You Can't Stop Me. Let's move on to the top 10 gospel songs for this week. Number 10, James Fortune with Never Let Me Down. Number 9, Jokia, Let Him In. 8, Maverick City Music featuring Kirk Franklin and Naomi Rain and Chandler Moore with Kingdom. 7, Charles Jenkins and Fellowship Chicago with Never Knew Love. 6, Doe, When I Pray. 5, Marvin Sepp, All in His Hands. 4, Lamont Sanders, He Kept Me. 3, Todd Delaney featuring Smokey Norfolk with Satisfied. Number 2, Brian Courtney Wilson, Sure As. And for the third week in a row, Erica Campbell has our number 1 song with Positive. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your top 5 Christian hip-hop songs, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
for things I did not do. Don't wanna be one to come so close, then lose. No, Lord, I've got to be ready when the Lord comes back again.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Pastor's Corner this evening. Amen. Well, Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. is your host. Amen. You're listening to Pastor Henderson. I'm sitting in for him tonight as he's working in God's vineyard. Amen. And we thank and praise God for you taking time, amen, to join us. We pray that you have had a blessed day all day. Amen. And we thank God for you taking time, amen, to be with us on tonight. Amen. I don't know who's on with us tonight, but we are going to check and see who we have with us tonight. I know we have, amen, hallelujah, the one, amen, who keeps everything together, amen, behind the scenes, amen, and he's also, amen, one who knows how to disperse the word, amen, with her comments as he works in God's vineyard, amen. Dr. Kimmy Kim, amen, have words, amen, tonight. Welcome. Dr. Kimmy Kim, are you there? Amen. She's unable to speak, but we thank and praise God, amen, for her being on with us tonight, amen. And at this time, We have Minister Henderson tonight. Amen. Do you have words tonight?
Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. It is truly a blessing to be on, and I'm looking forward to the dialogue on tonight.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Amen to Minister Paula Henderson. She is going to also be co-hosting with me tonight, so she's going to present, amen, some of the questions for our discussion tonight as we go forward on tonight. Now, I don't know who else is on with us, so if you are on tonight, can you make yourself known and introduce yourself to the others on the panel tonight? Okay. Well, maybe they don't want to say at this time, but I want to open it up and make you feel comfortable that at any given time, if you have a discussion, amen, we want you to feel free, amen, to join us in the discussion on tonight. Amen. Well, we are going to open up, amen, with a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Minister Henderson if you will open up with discussion on, I mean, with our prayer tonight.
Absolutely. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for being a good God. Hallelujah. As we, Lord God, open up your word on today, Lord God, and study your word and speak on your word, Lord God, may there be something that would be said that would encourage somebody, that would uplift someone, that would give them what they need, the fortitude to go forward in you and to do the things, Lord God, that give you glory. Lord God, we give you praise, glory, and honor for what is about to transpire in these brief moments that we have. And we thank you and praise you for it being done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer tonight. Amen. Last week, amen, we were looking in the book of Exodus in that third chapter, amen, and I'm going to read where we left off at, and then we're going to go into our discussion for tonight. We were reading from Exodus, the third chapter, and I'm going to read starting with the first verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I'm going to stop there. I read to you the third chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 6. May the Lord continue to bless you to his word. Amen. On last week, we had a discussion talking about when God calls you to the backside of the desert. Amen. And we're going to continue that discussion. Amen. We want you to continue to keep Bishop Richard and Lady Richards, amen, in your prayers as they're traveling, amen, and handling, amen, the business of the Lord, amen. And tonight, amen, we're going to continue with that same topic and discussion tonight. And I want to begin with the question tonight to the panel, those that are on. If you just joined us, amen, feel free to jump in and be a part of the discussion on tonight. Amen. I was just thinking about the background of Moses. Amen, how he once was a prince in Egypt, and he had royalty. I mean, he lived, I mean, a life that was of a royalty, and now he finds himself on the backside of the mountain as a shepherd. Amen. And so we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit And then we're going to continue to talk about this the rest of this month. So, amen. Think about some of the discussion topics and some of the questions or thoughts you might want to bring to the table. Amen. Because we're going to continue in this vein. Amen. For the month of September. Amen. But I want to begin by asking the question, what does it mean, amen, to be on the backside of the mountain? And to have a backside of the mountain or the backside of the desert experience, and how does that apply, amen, to our lives today? And I'm going to start it out by saying, you know, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about three things that came to mind, is that when you're on the backside of the desert and you don't really know why you're there, one of the things that came to my mind that being on the backside, what it does is it separates you from the things that keep you distracted. It separates you from those things that keep you from doing what God would have you to do, because you're isolated to a certain extent. You're isolated from the familiar. You're isolated from the things that maybe brought you comfort and got your attention. And in Egypt, there was a lot of distractions that was going on there. Everybody wanted to live in Egypt because it was the place where everything was happening, so to speak. And so it was a place, you know, that a lot was going on. And so being on the backside of the mountain, amen, separated Moses, amen, from what was familiar to him. The second thing I thought about, the distractions, the obstacles, the temptations, all of these things, amen, were he was able to get distracted, you know, be separated from those things so that his focus would be in another place. The second thing that I thought about is being on the backside of the mountain enables us to grow in a way that we couldn't grow if we were in a place of familiarity. And I thought about he was in Egypt, you know, and so now he's in the desert. Now he's a shepherd, amen. He's taking on a different role, amen, and he's able to grow in a different way and learn new things and have his focus in another place. You know, being a shepherd was one of the lowly occupations during that time. And so moving from royalty to being a shepherd was a transition. Amen. But it also enabled him to learn new things and have new ideals and have a different mindset about who he was and his capability of what he can do. And so and the third thing I thought about was being able to have the mindset of I'm going to go on, you know, I'm not giving up, you know, being on the backside in spite of where his background was, he still had the mindset that I'm going to make it. I'm still going to live because Moses got married. Moses had children. Moses became a shepherd. Moses continued to live. He didn't allow his mistake when he killed the Egyptian. He didn't allow his past, amen, to stop him from living. And sometimes I think what happens is that when you come from one place and you're in transition, amen, sometimes people are not able to go forward because they're still looking at their past. They're still looking at things that have happened. And so he was able to keep living. He didn't allow his mistake. He didn't allow where he came from, amen, to hinder him. So those are the three things that I thought about when I thought about the fact that he made a decision that I'm going to make it and I'm going to still keep going. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to keep going forward. So those are the three things that came to mind. So I want to ask anyone on the panel who would like to address that when you think about being on the backside of the mountain, you know, that experience, what does it mean to you and how can we apply that experience to our lives?
I would love to address that. So being on the backside of the desert in the biblical context, of course, we know Moses was literally, you know, in the desert place. But to me, it's sort of an unknown place, a place that we're not accustomed to being if we're out of our comfort zone. It's when you're in a place in your life or a time or a season that you just don't know exactly what to do or maybe even how you even got there. It might be an uncomfortable position that you're in. It could be just dealing with something that's new and you know, sort of unnerving for you because it's unfamiliar, as you said before. So being on the backside of the desert can, and you know, it's not necessarily all bad. For me, I'm the type of person I like to plan things. So if you're not used to, flying by the seat of your pants or being spontaneous, and you're used to planning things, and when you're caught in a situation where, hey, something new or unknown kind of catches you off guard, then you're feeling like you're in that desert place, like, what am I going to do now? So for me, though, it's not all bad because, you know, this is also a place where you can develop a new vision for where you want to go, a new strategy, a new plan, something that you never thought you could do before. You might end up, being more creative or even coming up with more strength to do something you never thought that you could do. Instead of looking at the desert as a place of crisis, when you look at it as a place of opportunity, then it can become an oasis for you if you really think about it. More importantly, the desert, the backside of the desert is a place where you seek God for help because you can't do it on your own. So it's a place of actually being alone and solitude and seeking God's will for what he would have you to do.
Yes, I like that. I like that aspect that when we turn it around and begin to look at it as an opportunity instead of something that's regretful or something that you feel distasteful about it, you can turn it around and look at this as an opportunity because something good's got to come out of that. And so I like that because it shows the attitude that we must have when we're on the backside of the mountain. And I believe each and every one of us has a backside of the mountain, backside of the desert experience. And I think that God allows us to have those experiences so that he can develop us and he can train us into the person that we want to be. And so, and what's needed, amen, for the call, especially if you're called by God to do a specific work, then God has to put us in training. And sometimes we don't understand all that's happening, but I really believe that God takes every one of our experiences and he puts it into he pulls it together so that it be a training for our development. Moses, amen, he had been trained in Egypt, you know, how to be a prince and how to live in the palace and how to live around royalty. He had that experience in his background, amen. But for what God had called him to be, God needed to train him in another way so that he would be to the advantage of what his call called for him to be. And so it's interesting that we find him in Midian now being a shepherd, and God is going to later call him to shepherd his people. And so in order to be a shepherd over God's people, you have to understand what it takes to be a shepherd. And I think that sometimes we miss that even as believers, is that we quote the scripture that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. But then a lot of times when we're in the midst of the test or the trial, we fail to do what James says to do. And he says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that it's working something in us. It's working perseverance and strength and patience, and it's doing a developing work in us. And so I think that it's so important to keep that in mind so that when we're in the midst of that, like you said, that we are look at those situations as not that why me God situation. It should be like, okay, Lord, what opportunity is going to come out of this? Because I know there's something in this for your glory. There's something that you're calling me to do that this is going to be to my advantage. So my next question is, what attitude should we have when we find ourselves on the backside of the desert, or what behavior should we have when we find ourselves there? Because there is an attitude that we have, there is a behavior, and I think you kind of touched on it. And so, let's talk about that a little bit. What attitude or disposition should we have when we find ourselves on the backside of the mountain, the backside of the desert, and having one of those experiences? What would you say to that?
What I would say to that is the attitude that you have to have, first of all, is trust. You have to have that unwavering trust that, number one, God sees you. He understands, and he knows exactly where you are, just like he knew where Moses mm-hmm. was, because the word said that when he saw that Moses turned and went towards the bush, that's when God called out to him. So God sees mm-hmm. you exactly where you are, no matter what your situation is. God sees you. He knows the hairs that are on your head. So he collects your tears and put them in a bottle. So God knows everything about us. So we don't have to yeah. worry and fret and get into a place of defeat. We have to trust that God sees me where I am. And not only does he see me, but he has the power to save me. So he can deliver me from whatever yeah. situation I am in, despite what my circumstances look like. And so we have to have that mindset of trusting God and having faith and confidence that whatever God has me in, you know, he has me here to handle it. If he would not, the Bible says he won't put more on you than what you can bear. So if you're in it, mm-hmm. then you can bear it. You have the capacity to handle it. And God might be stretching you, and it might feel uncomfortable, but you have to trust God and have faith. And then you have to have an attitude of thankfulness. You know, a lot of times we get into situations and, you know, let's say it's a loss, or, you know, you lost this, you lost a job, money, or whatever it might be, worldly. But you have to thank God for the fact that he's been here and he's been there for you all the time. Never has mm-hmm. he lost a battle. Never has he, you know, ever left you nor forsaken you at any time. So you have to thank him where you are, and then when you begin to show, you know, gratefulness, you know, for what you have, God sees your heart. And then, mm-hmm. you know, maybe God will then turn your situation around because he sees your heart of thankfulness. So those are the yeah. things that I think about we should have mindset when you're going through.
Amen, amen. As you were talking, I was thinking about this pandemic, and I think this pandemic has put a lot of people, you know, even myself, all of us, you know, in some level of feeling like we're on the backside of the desert, because it's something that we've never been through before. It's an experience that we've never had. We've never had where the whole, you know, nation, amen, is shut down. We've never had where you couldn't go to churches, you couldn't go to the business, now you have to wear a mask. We've never had to encounter anything like this in our lifetime, so it's very foreign, it's very uncomfortable, and you don't know, you know, there's so many uncertainties about everything that's going on. And so, you know, if we look at it from that perspective too, just this pandemic is a backside of the mountain experience, because I mean, I believe that even everything that's going on, God still is in control, and God knows everything. As you said, he sees us, he understands, and to know to have that knowing that God is sovereign, amen, causes us to have a faith and a trust that we can trust the God that we talk about. We can trust the God that we pray to. We can trust the God that we read about in the Word, because he's sovereign and that he's faithful, and that I heard you say that he wouldn't put any more on you that you can bear, and that God knows how to make a way of escape, amen, for his people. And so I just think that even during this time, I think the faith is the key word, is to keep your trust in the Lord, not in the government, because you can't trust what you hear. You can't trust. You know, the Bible says some trust in horses and some trust in the chariots, but, you know, I choose to trust in the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into him and be safe, and our safety is in Jesus. So even when we don't know what's going on and we don't have all the answers, we can put our trust in a sovereign God who has all the answers, who sees all things, who knows all things, who guides us in all adversity. So he is always there to guide us, and he knows how to make a way of escape for his people. And I think for me, that's been comforting to know that we serve a sovereign God who said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, in the midst of everything that's going on, that we can take shelter in the Lord and know that he is the Lord of hosts. Amen. And he knows how to take care of us. So even in that backside of the mountain experience, amen, I think, as you said, it's so important to make the Lord your focus and to keep your faith stationed in Him, even when you don't understand. And so that brings me to my next question, and then I'm going to turn it to you, and then we'll come back with another question. What should we be doing, amen, what should we be doing in our backside of the mountain or backside of the desert experience? You know, should we just be sitting idle? Should we just be, you know, just going with the flow? Should we be, you know, just living life, you know, and just, you know, just living life with no care? Or are there some specific things that we can say, you know, that we should be doing as we look at this text and what Moses was doing and what God was doing in the background of his life? What are some things would you say that we should be doing on the backside of the desert experience?
Well, one thing that we want to do is we want to seek God's face, seek God for the answers. One thing I liked about David, King David, is that he always inquired of the Lord, you know, when it was time for him to go into battle, you know, or when he was facing something. So we have to inquire of the Lord, because a lot of times you don't know, you know, what the situation might be, and God sees all and knows all. So when you seek God's face and seek his hand and you know, to direct you and to guide you, then you're going to be better off than just trying to go willy-nilly on yourself, on your own, to do, you know, handle a situation the way you think it should be handled. And you might be working and operating out of your flesh, not realizing that, you know, you might be going through a spiritual battle. So you definitely want to seek the face of God and seek God for answers and insight as to, you know, why am I here? What's going on? You know, have a prayer life. This is the time that you would strengthen prayer. If you've never prayed before, this is definitely the time you start praying, and pray consistently. The sexual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much, says the word of God. So you definitely want to make sure that you are praying regularly. And then self-examination too, you know, examine yourself, see, you know, introspection, see, you know, is there something that I'm doing that I need to change? You know, how can I change to make this situation better? Maybe God has been dealing with you and you've been ignoring him, and you know, he's tapping on your shoulder and you say, I don't hear him, you know, but, you know, maybe you need to look inwardly and say, hey, what are some things that I can be doing that can better this situation? So I think you should be looking at all those things, basically.
Amen. That's good. That's good. And I like how you brought up about David, because David also was a shepherd, you know, and God used him to shepherd his people. And so I think that God builds into us what's needed in our character, and as we seek the face of God, God makes us into that person that we need to be for the call. As, you know, Jeremiah talks about that potter and the potter's wheel, I believe that God uses our situations to form us and to shape us into what we need to be. It's interesting, because God had destined Moses, amen, to deliver his people. And even though he didn't understand, but if you look all the way back in history, he was protected. He had God's favor when he was in the basket. Everything, God's favor was on him. He was destined to do what he did. And even all the way through his life, amen, it still required, amen, him to have this relationship with the Lord, and God was just preparing him. God was training him, but also he was required to trust God. He was required to obey God. Amen. We too are required to trust God and obey. And I like this song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way, you know, to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And that's the key, is when we don't know what to do, we trust God, and then we obey him. Obey him when we can't trace him. You know, when we don't understand, we just know, Lord, you're sovereign, and whatever you say, Lord, help me to obey. And if we can just get in that rhythm of trust, obey, it helps us to stay on course with what he's doing, because God is preparing each and every one of us. amen, in our lives, whether it be the calling in ministry, whether it just be in life, to be a mentor, to be a teacher, to be a role model, to do whatever it is that God specifically has given each and every one of us to do, because we all are here with a purpose and with a mission, and God has a call for all of us to do something. It might just be to be that good mother who raised your children in the Lord. It might just be, you know, whatever that thing that God has ordained for you to do, then God is allowing your life to go in a vein that's preparing you to do those things that he would have for you to do. He has positioned you for such a time. So God has a plan, and I like that scripture when it says that God knows he has a plan for his people. He knows the plan. You know, we know the plans he has for us because he's a good God, and he ordained those plans. And before the foundation of the world, he called us in him. So he already knows our ending at the beginning. And that's the beautiful thing. So even when we don't know, we can trust in the sovereign God, amen, that will lead us and guide us and take us into the things he would have us to do. Even now in this pandemic, amen, with everything that's going on, amen, God still has a plan. God's still looking for his people to stand up and to go forth. He's still looking for his people to be positioned where he planted them, to be in the place where he positioned you to be at. And, you know, it's not time to give up. It's not time to get weary. It's not time to turn back. It's not time to be confused, but it's time to trust God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I be doing? You know, all the experiences that you're going through in your life, if you look, you'll probably see that there's a pattern of things. That's a reason why you went through. And even though you didn't understand why you were going through, it's making you the person who you are right now. Because had not you had those experiences, you wouldn't have the same mindset that you have about things. You wouldn't treat people the way that you treat them. You wouldn't have the love and the compassion and the mercy for people if you had not gone through the situations that you've gone through. So I truly believe that God takes the good, the bad, the ugly, and he works it all together and says, okay, it's working for your good, because I have a good plan and I have a good purpose for you. And, you know, I thought about the anointing. It's made up of bitter and sweet oils. It's made up of the bitter and the sweet. And our life is made up of bitter and sweet. Some things is not so good. Some things a little bitter. But God said, that's okay, because when I mix it all up, you're going to be to my glory and you will accomplish what I called you to do. And it's going to be with excellence, and it's going to be, amen, it's going to be a good thing. And so I thank God. His thoughts are not our thoughts, but everything he does is good, because he's a good God and his mercy endures forever. Amen. I'm going to turn it into your hand at this time, Minister Henderson, and give it to you, and you go from there.
Absolutely wonderful. So I'm going to pivot just a little bit here. Not too much, of course, but I'm going to pivot just a little bit, because you were talking about being prepared and being chosen and taking the call. And that's basically what we're talking about, being on the backside of the desert and how that prepares you to step up and accept the call. So just want to reflect on some things that happened today and that we're all experiencing and have seen in the news. We've seen how people currently are paying their respects to Queen Elizabeth II after 70 years of having reigned on the throne in England, mm-hmm. and how now, you know, England has ushered in the new king, King Charles III, and this is extremely emotional and sad time for some people and unexpected, but it is also mm-hmm. a historical moment for many, or for mm-hmm. all of us, I should say. It's monumental in the impact that it's going to have, not just on the UK, but the entire world. And as now we see King Charles has been chosen to be king and accept a role that he was called to or chosen for since, you know, birth and by, you know, his birthright. So mm-hmm. that being said, Moses himself, we can kind of see Moses' story is that God has chosen Moses. You know, even though he didn't know, but from his birth, he was also chosen. And he took mm-hmm. a journey, and he had to be ready to step up to the plate when it was time. Mm-hmm. Despite what was going on in his life at the time, when it was mm-hmm. his time for him to step into his role, he had to be ready. Now, yeah. Moses did one thing. He kind of, I feel like he kind of stepped ahead of the game because, you know, he's passing for the people caused him to even go to the point where he, so mm-hmm. he kind of got ahead of his call in that regard. So this brings me to a question. Moses wasn't perfect, you know, nor has, are any of us perfect. David was perfect. Mm-hmm. But the question that I have is, can someone who is flawed, or can a flawed person also be chosen?
Absolutely. Because I believe that everyone that God called had flaws in it. And I think the flaws is not to destroy you, but the flaws come to cause you to trust in God. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's no perfect person but Jesus Christ himself. And Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. We are who we are because of God's grace, because of his mercy. And I think that when we begin to think of ourselves more than who we are, then we take the glory away from the Lord. And I think that was one of Moses's, you know, Moses had lived royal. He had lived in the superpower city, place of Egypt. Amen, where everything was, you know, top-notch, you know. Everyone wanted to go to Egypt because it was that modern city that had all, everything going on. And so, you know, when you live in that environment, you begin to think of yourself more than, you know, who you are, because now you're thinking yourself as indispensable and have this sense of pride about yourself because of where you came from and your background or who he thought he was. And then he realized who he was, his real identity. You know, so I think the flaws help keep us humble and also help keep us trusting in the Lord. And I think about Apostle Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh. That thorn mm-hmm. in the flesh, the enemy came to buffet him so that it would keep him in a certain place, you know, in God. You know, he had went up to the third heaven. You know, when you start having these revelations going up, you know, and you have these experiences, sometimes God allows us to have them so that we would stay humble, that we would trust in him and not ourselves, and that he would get the glory, that when he looks at us, and I really believe that God uses the imperfection. The Bible says he calls the weak things to confound the wise, and he takes those weak things, and he uses it, amen, to work his work. Hallelujah. So when you look at it, you say, that had to be God. That had to be God. And that's what he wants. He wants his glory. So if we could just look at that sometimes from that perspective, instead of feeling bad about it, we embrace it. Embrace the weakness. Embrace it, because it causes you to say, Lord, if you don't help me, if you don't keep me, if you don't help me, you know, then I don't have the help. So it causes us to depend on him. So, yes, he does use flaws. And if you go through the word of God, you'll see everybody, even Abraham, when he lied about Sarah, you know, when he didn't believe, you know, oh, my goodness, all through the word of God. And I think that's the beauty of the word of God, because it shows God's strength. It shows his strength in our weakness. Yes.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I love the scripture that says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yes.
So where we're weak,
oh, yes.
God's strength is made perfect. So I absolutely agree wholeheartedly with everything you said. You can't get down on yourself and thinking, hey, I don't have the qualifications for this, or I did something in my past that prevents me from doing what God wants me to do, or that, you know, don't let that stop you from doing whatever God has you to do, because that's not even God at all. If you have those types of thoughts, that's the enemy trying to talk you out of doing what God has taught you to do. So you definitely want
yes.
to understand that the flaws make you who you are. Everything that happens in your life makes you who you are, and God knows the end, you know, from the beginning. So he would not have called you if he didn't know that he could use you in the same condition that you're in. So I definitely agree with what you just said.
you know, we could stay there a long time in that vein, because so many things are just going through my mind right about now. And you know, I was thinking about the church. We have gotten away. We've gotten this notion that if you save, you never have a trouble. You never have, you know, you never make mistakes. And that's the falsehood, or that's the deception, amen, where mm-hmm. we become judgmental of people instead of recognizing that God purposed things to be. You know, God uses things in our lives to make us who we are. And so that's why we can't pinpoint each other and be judgmental, because God has a purpose for everything. And so we have to love people where they are, amen, and allow God to perfect them, because we all belong to him. So the purpose that he wants to bring out of us has to be birthed forth. And we hinder that when we stop someone, we penalize them, we don't allow them to be who God wants them to be, because we're too busy judging, you know. And, oh, my goodness, mm-hmm. there's so much in that thought. But I love that scripture that you said, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So, I mean, wow, that's powerful scripture. I mean, you could talk about that a long time, because it just brings glory to God. And it helps you to go forward and say, you know, get up from there. You don't have to stay there. You may fall in the mud, but you don't have to waddle in the mud. You can get up and keep running this race and let God use your life. And that's what Moses did.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then sometimes that deterrent could be your own self, if you see yourself small in your own eyes. And that was one of the problems mm-hmm. that I noticed that Moses had, is that he lacked courage. God told mm-hmm. him, I will be with you. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it through you. But yet mm-hmm. still, he still lacked that courage. What do you think there are some things, what do you think are some of the things you can do to overcome that, you know, lack of courage when God is telling you to go forward and you're thinking, well, I'm just a little person over here, I can't do that. I wasn't raised in this, or you know, that type of thing, or I'm not trained in this, but yet God is calling. You know, what are some of the things that can be done when a person really doesn't have that courage, that inner courage to go forward? What can they do?
Amen. I think we need to keep our focus on the Lord and not ourselves. I think so many times we focus in on us and our ability instead of focusing on God's ability. And I think the more mm-hmm. we focus on ourselves, we see the weaknesses and the flaws in ourselves. And so it's like looking at yourself in the mirror, and you see everything that's on your face, everything that, you know, whatever flaws that you see, you're looking at that. And so it becomes your focus. But I think if we can just shift the focus off of us and say, it's not me, it is God's ability in me, and you begin to trust in his ability, seeking those things which are above, the scripture says, to keep our focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and that knowing that we can do what the word says, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so I think when we take the focus off of us and then put our focus on what the word says about us, and not what people say, because sometimes we have these inward weaknesses because maybe of something someone said to us, or maybe that build up that feeling of uncomfortability, or something that we know about ourselves that, you know, that's caused these things. But wherever it came from, wherever that seed was planted, amen, we can reverse that by applying the word of God in that place.
Right.
And begin to say, exactly, this is who God says I am. This is who God says. And if God said this is who I am, that's who I'm going to be. And it takes you training and rehearsing and bringing yourself to the place that this is who I really am. This is who I thought I was. This is what people said I was. But this is who God says I am. And I got to be I got to be who God says I am if I want to accomplish a God assignment. And it's not until you make that decision that I'm going to peel off the labels of this and that and this and that, and I'm going to step into who God said I am. And even though I may feel like I don't have the ability to do it, and I don't even need my ability to do it, I can trust in God's ability. And as I begin to trust and obey him, he will do the work through me. And that's what God wanted Moses to know, that it wasn't going to be about him, but it was going to be about God, the great I am.
Absolutely.
The greater.
Absolutely.
This has been so, it doesn't seem like it's been the top of the hour, but we are right about at 57. We're right at the top of the hour. Amen. And we are going to, I'm going to see if anyone else is on, has a comment, but we're going to close out.
Okay.
We're going to come bring it to a close here shortly, but I want to know if there's anyone else on tonight that would like to have a comment or like to close out with a comment before we close out with prayer tonight. Amen. Well, we thank and praise God. We know there's some others on, but they're not speaking, but that's fine. And we just thank God for you joining us on tonight from near and far, wherever you may be called in from. We thank and praise God for joining us tonight. We pray, amen, that something that has been said on the pastor's corner tonight that will encourage you, amen, to continue, amen, to allow God to perfect you. If you are experiencing on the backside of the desert experience, even right now, that God has purpose for you, that God loves you, that God knows how to provide for you, that God is a keeper in the midst of your situation or wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, while you're waiting on God. I just want to encourage you to trust him, for he knows what's best for you. If you have faith in him, he will see you through it. He will bring you into your destiny, and what he has purpose in your life, he will bring it to pass. For God never plants a seed and that he does not get a return on. For he that began a good work in you, amen, he's able to bring it to full completion in your life. So I pray that you be encouraged. I pray that you be uplifted. I pray that you can keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, trusting that God has the best waiting for you. Amen. We thank and praise God for each one of you tonight. Amen. We thank and praise God for Bishop Richard tonight. Amen. And the opportunity to sit in for him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We will be back. Lord, be our help. Amen. On next Thursday, the same time. Amen. As we continue this discussion, when you're called to the backside of the desert. Amen. And we're going to close out tonight in prayer. I am going to close us out, and I'm going to have closing remarks from Minister Henderson. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for our discussion. We thank and praise you for the opportunity, oh God, to discuss your word and, oh God, how it is to gain and to gleam, oh God, an understanding, oh God, of our experiences in you, Father God. We thank you for the word, oh God, that hallelujah, that is alive, that is living. Oh God, we thank you for your purpose for us, oh God, because you have a purpose for each and every one of us. Oh God, help us to step into the things that you have for us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your people, Father God. Encourage your people today, God. Hallelujah. Minister to the hearts and the minds, oh God, those that are hurting, those that are broken, those that are discouraged, those that feel like they messed up so bad that they can never go forward. God, touch their hearts and their minds and help them to recognize, God, that you have a purpose in all that you're doing, oh God, in their life, oh God, that hallelujah, you, hallelujah, know how to work it all together for their good, that they may be to your glory, Father God. Save, heal, and deliver, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Anyone out of the ark of safety, God, deal with their hearts, oh God, that they might receive you as Lord and Savior, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and be born again, that they'll be rapture ready when you come. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're coming back again. Help us to be ready. Help us to put off the old and put on the new man. Help us to live for you like never before. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you're doing, all that you have done, and all that you shall do. Bless your people, oh God. Hallelujah. Remember the lost. Remember the sick and the shut and the bereaved families tonight. The homeless tonight. Remember our nation tonight. Remember England tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all things. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Minister Henderson, I'm going to let you come with closing remarks, and we're going to put it into the hands of Dr. Kim and Kim. Closing remarks.
Okay. No, not too much to say. Just, you know, the word says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which comes to try you. So if you find yourself on the backside of the desert, don't think it's strange. Just think about what God is trying to bring out of you. There's a purpose, plan that God has for you, and just endeavor to seek God for what that plan is for you so that you will be whole and complete and that God will complete that work in you.
Amen. Amen. Very well said. Amen. Amen. Everyone have a blessed and amazing evening. Dr. Kimmy Kim, we're putting it into your hands to close us out. Be blessed.
Broke some hearts, I didn't mean that too. I believe the men and know something I have to come to terms with. I don't know who I am anymore.
To the